Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation is with Dr. Carolyn Clancy, the Director of the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality in the Department of Health and Human Services. And joining us in our conversation is Venetia Lee. Well, Dr. Clancy, you mentioned the Institute of Medicine and the study that talked about that the current healthcare systems has some quality problems that result in inadequate delivery of services. Given the mission of ARC and the current structure, what role do you see in ARC playing in sort of redesign or working on the problems?
Essentially, we see the agency as a science partner to those who provide healthcare, and not just those who provide healthcare, but those who are buying healthcare services, for example, employers who are buying on behalf of their employees or other large purchasers. And we're also very helpful to public programs such as community health centers, the Medicare and Medicaid programs, and so forth. You know, or I think most people are aware, that in this country we have an embarrassment of riches in terms of biomedical knowledge and all kinds of knowledge to help us provide the best health care in the world, and by some metrics we don't, and by any metric of evidence-based care is what we would call it, matching the content of that science to the care that's provided, we often fall short. So part of the agency's role is actually helping develop the metrics for assessing quality of care. In addition to that, we support a lot of studies that try to address the question, why aren't we doing a better job? Let me give you an example. Recently, we issued the first of an annual series of quality reports. It's sort of a national report card on quality of care. And it's about the most comprehensive report ever produced. It includes care provided in hospitals, in outpatient settings, nursing homes. And the Institute of Medicine was very helpful to us in providing recommendations about the content of the report and the framework and so forth. But, I mean, there are stunning examples in there of where we collectively could be doing a better job. So a little less than one patient in four with diabetes has had all recommended tests in the past 2 years. Of all the people who are admitted to the hospital and have a heart attack, about 48% are given advice to quit smoking before they're discharged home. Now, I'm a doctor. I know what's going on here. Everyone assumes that this is so self-evident they don't need to say it, or that one of their colleagues has already covered that. But the reality is, if you ask patients, did anyone talk to you about quitting smoking, less than half the time this happens. You know, a lot of people are not getting preventive care that they need, and in general terms, we're doing well when we're providing the right care somewhere between 80 and 90% of the time. Well, what's going on here? We have a world-class scientific enterprise. We should have a world-class delivery system. And providing the scientific knowledge and providing it at a time when people can use it to make decisions, that's where I see us being a part of the solution to improving health care.
Dr. Clancy, you just mentioned a little bit about Institute of Medicine. They basically said that there are several ways that we could improve it, and one was through health information technology. Can you briefly describe what health information technology is and why it's considered important?
Very broadly, health information technology consists of an array of components of information and communications technology that can be applied to improve healthcare. So that can include everything from little handheld Palm Pilots. There are software programs where we can beam information to doctors about the latest evidence about preventive care, for example, or information about symptoms related to potential bioterrorist attacks. So that's one example of information technology. More sophisticated examples are computerized physician order entry. And when I first joined an academic medical center, they had that kind of system, and it was quite different than simply writing orders and charts. Everyone could see and, more importantly, read the orders that you wrote. There are full-blown electronic medical records, which can include reminders in them so that I don't just have to rely on my faulty memory in the article I read 2 weeks ago, but actually it reminds me based on the content of the patient's particular information. It also includes email between patients and doctors, telemedicine. So it's a broad array of technologies.
Dr. Clancy, so much of what ARC does is around patient safety. The Institute of Medicine estimates that between 44,000 and 98,000 lives are lost annually due to medical errors. What role do you see ARC playing in improving patient safety?
It's a really important question, and one that we focus on all the time because of the urgency of the problem. First, to be clear about one point, the 44 to 98,000 number comes actually from two very large studies that were conducted in New York State and then repeated in Utah, actually looking at the malpractice problem. The question then was, is bad care what leads to lawsuits? And it turned out that the overlap between poor care and lawsuits was pretty modest. In other words, a lot of people get poor care and don't sue, and a lot of people who sue have not received poor care. So this was quite a breathtaking revelation. And when the Institute of Medicine published their report in 1999, they made those facts pretty glaringly obvious. But the point is that that number applies to hospitalized patients. We have very little systematic information about what happens in outpatient settings, in nursing homes, in other types of settings, and very importantly, I believe, at transitions in care. It's a lot of opportunities to not communicate information effectively at those transitions, which is another place where information technology could be helpful. So our research spans a spectrum from trying to develop better information about those other settings to realize just how far and deep the problem is to focusing on strategies to improve healthcare right now. So, for example, in the latter category, we developed a campaign to help patients and their families understand what they can do right now to improve their healthcare called 5 Steps to Safer Healthcare. Fairly basic, common sense things that I can tell you as a physician never happen or rarely happen. Always write down the names of the medications you're taking, all of them, and bring them with you when you come to see the doctor. Now, you can always tell an internist's office because you'll see a lot of people sitting out in the waiting room with little brown bags. But those patients have been trained. More often than not, what's happening is patients are seeing several different doctors. For example, they might see a specialist for their heart problem and have a primary care doctor and then maybe had to go to an orthopedist because they had an injury, none of whom have an easy way to share information with each other. They tend to send each other letters, but it's very common that one doctor makes a change in medication without taking the others. You can see that the potential for errors, for adverse interactions from medications and so forth begins to multiply. So that's, again, another point where information technology comes into play. One new thing that we're doing that I think is very important, all of our priorities for research and patient safety have been guided by input from stakeholders across the healthcare system, doctors, the public, those who run hospitals, those who run healthcare organizations, and so forth. We've had a couple of summits to help people come testify and tell us what they saw as the most important problems facing them in trying to provide safe healthcare. The first time we did this, what state said to us was, you know, we have a lot of data already. What we don't have actually is a lot of manpower or person power to help us analyze the data. So this past year, we started a new program called the Patient Safety Improvement Corps. And every year, we're going to be training 50 healthcare professionals from multiple backgrounds. Most of that is done back at their home institution where they work on very specific projects. And a lot of this includes learning and applying skills in change management. I might know what went wrong, but if I can't persuade people to work together to develop and implement a solution to solving that problem, we're not going to go too far. They spend 3 or 4 weeks on site with us, and this is something we do in partnership with the VA because they've developed a very, very safe healthcare system. So they get to see whether their techniques can be generalized to a much more heterogeneous and fragmented healthcare system, and we get to take advantage of their expertise. But we think that we're going to begin to grow a cadre of professionals who will actually understand and be able to apply these new skills and techniques on the ground.
Is there a national strategy for implementing health IT?
That's a really good question. There's certainly, it feels like national excitement these days. There's a lot of excitement on Capitol Hill, and Secretary Thompson, who is the Secretary of Health and Human Services, has been completely passionate about this. Keeps asking me, when can we make healthcare paperless? Can't we do it next week? Or, all right, you can have 2 weeks. Very, very insistent that we get this done right now. It's easy enough for me to say as a doctor, for example, that no one should get a handwritten prescription in the 21st century, period. I mean, I still write them, but, you know, the opportunities for errors and so forth are just all over the place. So this year, ARC will be investing $50 million in grants focused on the use of health information technology to improve quality and safety. I think it's very important to understand that information technology is not strange to healthcare, okay? The billing enterprise has long been electronic for the most part. What's new is actually drawing on the power of this technology to influence the core clinical enterprise itself, and that's where I think our investments will make a big difference. We have funded a variety of projects over the years, but they tended to be at fairly select sites that had already made those investments in the technology, so our resources were able to support projects to evaluate, for example, the use of reminders to improve the delivery of preventive care, and in one case, interestingly enough, to even remind doctors and patients to have those fairly difficult conversations about end-of-life care. Fairly simple, straightforward reminders, but because they came up at the point of care, people remember to do it, even though it's not an easy conversation to have. But now we'll actually have enough resources at one time to be able to build on those earlier findings and hopefully spread the diffusion of that. In addition to that, the department has additional resources next year which will complement our investments very closely, which are going to focus on making sure that the information technology within healthcare organizations, physicians' offices, and so forth, can actually be shared and connected across a community. So, for example, the information problem I mentioned before about a patient seeing multiple doctors, well, they could each have a fabulous electronic medical record system, but if they can't talk to each other, you still have the same problem. Their offices are just neater. There's less paper around. The strategy of developing programs for sharing health information in a secure and confidential way within a community is something that we're going to be starting on this year, but will be amplified and expanded next year.
Millions of dollars are invested in healthcare research. How is the success of such an investment measured? We'll ask Dr. Carolyn Clancy of the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality when the Business of Government Hour continues.